Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
It's showtime, folks. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Tuesday. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day so far. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier. Intern Colin back there.
Yeah.
What's up, JoJo?
Hey, I was going to make sure you mentioned Colin's name back there.
Today. I got it.
Well done.
Thank you for letting me finish my sentence.
You're welcome, pal. That's how we do things around here. Chaser's on edge. Watch out, people. He's on edge. He's ready to attack today. I like it.
I don't know. I need you guys to bring me up and put me in a better mood.
No.
Just not in a good mood.
I like your attack mode, man. You'd be good. You'd be tight. You'd be good for the Titans defense.
Yeah,
put you. You're a gunner. We're gonna start calling you Traylon Burks during the show.
The gunner.
That's all you're good for is just a gunner down the middle of the field.
Yeah. What's up, Dr. Crane? How are you?
I'm doing well. How are the both?
How was your 13 hours of radio yesterday?
I felt great. Yeah. People kept. Keiser was like, "Oh, you get enough sleep?" I was like, "I feel pretty good. I mean, I'm just here to work. That's what I do.
I mean, I like this that. Is that's this good is, attitude right there.
This is the occupation is sports radio.
Yeah, that's.
I kept saying like, hey, you know, Keezer can spell you or Ian can spell you. He's like, no, I'm good.
Oh, he spelled it Frazier. Frazier.
Yeah. Yes. What, did you think it was S the whole time?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. No. All right. Yeah. No. I feel good though. Yeah. No. People said you get some sleep. I did. I got some coffee in me. Didn't eat breakfast. I don't like doing that. But other than that, we're here. We're peachy.
Good for you.
It's time to have a great day. It's the Chase and Big Joe show.
Welcome. I saw you in the studio yesterday, sitting in the middle of right here in the middle chair.
I did, yeah.
You like that middle chair?
It was just by default. Keezer was on the left. Jake was already on the right. I was editing some stuff.
Oh, okay.
Walked in like, hey, you get the middle seat. Thanks.
That's a song out there. We'll play the song for you during that. We'll come back with a break with a song.
I actually think he'll play the song.
That you had that because of that right there.
Okay.
Clowns to the left.
NBA Finals come to an end last night. The Celtics beat the Mavs 106-88. It wasn't really a series at all.
Did you watch any of it?
I didn't watch one bit.
Me neither, man. It's terrible.
Last night was Monday. I watch wrestling. That's what I do.
Yeah. I just didn't. What did Cornette do? Did he score any points last night? I think he had two the whole series.
Yeah. Well, that's two more points than you and I have in the NBA Finals.
Plus his name's on the whatever they put out there that he's the world champion.
Larry O'Brien Trophy.
Larry O'Brien.
Yeah. So the NBA season comes to an end.
Oh, no.
As the interesting stat, let me pull this up, because this was from our gambling insider.
Oh.
Music City Bets.
Good?
He's been good. The Boston Celtics were the preseason favorite at +400 to win the 2023-24 NBA championship. That according to BetMGM. They're the first preseason favorite to go on and win the championship since Golden State in 2017-18.
Well, there you have it, man. So you make a lot of money off of them.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot, but I mean, still,
it just shows you how rare it is that the preseason favorite goes on and wins the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, like, it shows you how much do we know.
Well, it's also, we talk about the College World Series, you know, the betting favorite is not the Tennessee Vols.
No, it was A&M, right?
A&M, yeah. A&M's still rolling along, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a, you know, if you do that for amusement only, that's what you can kind of figure out right there. But, yeah, Tennessee was not the betting favorite to win the College World Series. And they don't play again until tomorrow at 1. And later today we have...
Oh, Vince Ferrara. I didn't know where you were going with that.
That's all right.
You're just like, later today we have lunch.
maybe.
Grocery shopping.
If we're lucky with that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Vince Ferrara going to join us at 11:30 today from the Sports Animal in Knoxville and obviously the Vol Network. So get his thoughts on the run to this point and all that there. Who do we have at 11?
Matt Jackson, Tennessee Titans linebacker. From Hillsboro High School, join us. He's got a football camp this weekend, so we'll talk to Matty Jack at 11 o'clock today.
Nice.
To see what he's up to and what's going on. And this, you know, his first year in the NFL is last year under Vrabel. Now it's a whole switch with Callahan and Denard Wilson, so we'll talk how that stands.
Hillsboro, and then he played Eastern Kentucky, for coach.
Yep.
And
now he's here with the Tennessee Titans. And I love the story, too. He's an undrafted free agent. Which is, you know, we've talked about this, so hard to break in. I mean, you're basically a walk-on in the NFL. Hell, it's hard to be a walk-on in college. And then he's made the Titans team, so hopefully he sticks around for quite a while. So he's got a camp this weekend. We'll talk to him about the football camp this weekend.
Jeff Hem from the Nashville Sounds will join us at 9:30 as well.
Jeff is fantastic, man.
Oh, he's fun. He's fun to talk ball with. Obviously, the Sounds got a home series this week.
Yeah.
Some cool stuff coming up for 4th of July, so we'll talk to him about that.
You know what's funny about Jeff is that you think he's got a baseball voice, like, oh, that's just a voice for radio. That's his voice. Like, that's how he talks if you see him at Kroger. He's like, hey, how's it going today? He's good.
He is. All right, so it's funny. I knew I'd probably mention this at some point, but we have two texts already, people asking me to talk about a wrestling storyline.
Do it.
That happened last night.
All right.
So I think you remember about 6-7 months ago, there was a wrestler named Bray Wyatt that passed away and actually passed away.
Who's his dad?
Mike Rotunda.
Okay.
IRS. His uncle's Barry Windham. So his name was Windham Rotunda. That was his actual name. And so he passed away and he had, he was 36, we're the same age. And he had this stable called the Wyatt family that was like his whole. His whole gimmick was like it was kind of like the New Age Undertaker in a different way, but like kind of a cult thing, but immensely popular. And so before he died, they were setting up a storyline with his real-life brother, who had gone by the name of Bo Dallas. That was his wrestling name. And he was coming back as Uncle Howdy is what – because Bray would introduce all these different characters. So there was Sister Abigail and there was – Huskus the pig, like it was this whole thing you got to follow. But so anyway, they've been teasing that Bo was going to return with a new version of the Wyatt family to carry on his brother's legacy, both in storyline and out of storyline. And they debuted last night, and it was like it was so awesome, but also so bizarre at the same time. So they did this whole thing where. Sister Abigail comes out and Bray always carried a lantern. So the lights would go out and he would carry a lantern like he's walking through the smoke in the woods and, you know, and then he'd say, we're here, which used to be in her open, and blow the lantern out and then the lights would go completely dark. And so she comes out and the lantern's sitting there. So the crowd's going nuts and she points backstage and they go backstage to Gorilla, which is where everybody comes out and like, there's body like everybody's like beat up and there's bodies everywhere, but they made it look like a murder scene. Is basically like there's blood on the wall and like all this stuff, and then you go back further and there's more of this, and they're slowly all the characters are like there in each room, and finally it goes back and there's like this light and you just see this fixture standing there and it's Bo, Uncle Howdy, whatever they're gonna call him. And then they all six of them come out and, you know, the crowd goes nuts. And so it was like
it was really well done production-wise. You know, the build-up has been awesome, and so we'll see where they go from here. But I just think it's funny that people are like, Chase, what do you think? So I think it's really cool. There was one wrestler, Chad Gable, that they
– Chad Gable.
They I don't think they meant to do this, but they had him leaned up. Did you see it? So they had him – look it up. They had him leaned up against a box, like a crate that you carry like cables and stuff in. Like they'd beat him up. But where they put the blood, they put it like on his temple. So it looked like a it was like a different effect. And so now the internet is like RIP Chad Gable and all this. Goodness. And I was like, yeah, I don't think they meant for that to be the effect. But
where was last night's event?
Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh, okay.
So they'll be in Chicago for SmackDown and all of that. So,
Right, is there something in July, like a SummerSlam?
Yeah, SummerSlam will be in Cleveland in August. The next pay-per-view is in Toronto, Money in the Bank. So what that is, you may remember we had some wrestlers in probably 10 or so years ago. We had a guy in named Dolph Ziggler, had bleached blonde hair.
Yeah.
And he had a briefcase with him. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
And so he had the briefcase. Well, that had a contract for a championship match at any point in the calendar year. So that's what Money in the Bank is.
Okay.
It's a ladder match. You win the briefcase, you have you can cash in anytime.
Who did Dolph Ziggler fight back then?
I don't even remember who he cashed in on, but he was a world champion.
What's he doing now?
He is in Total Nonstop Action Wrestling now.
TNA.
Yep.
God, there's so many of those little organizations.
Yes, indeed. So there you go. That's my analysis of the Wyatt Six. And
I was hoping at some point you would mention Jim Wyatt and all of this, but I guess not.
I'm waiting for Jim Wyatt to make his debut. They need a writer.
He's too nice. Sports writer. He's like, hey, we don't have to do this, guys. We don't have to argue.
I think it would be hilarious. You just see, like, they all come out and they have these masks on. Then all of a sudden you just hear, hey, so what do you think about the line?
With a pencil.
I can't do a Jim Wyatt
pencil
accent.
Pencil in his visor.
Imagine him walking out on the stage as intro with Anita Baker in the background.
All right.
That'd be hilarious.
Well, if he has a mask on, you know it's him because he's 6'3", 115 pounds. You know it's Jim Wyatt coming out.
Pull the pencil off of his ear.
Yeah.
Notepad ready to go.
Hey, he's a Ryan graduate, baby.
He is.
He's part of your heart there, Dr. Crane.
I went to school with his daughter.
At half pint point. At Half Pints Point on Twitter says, listening to Chase explain the ending of last night's Raw to Big Joe is hilarious, looking at his reaction.
I'm listening to it. I'm not caught up on the ways of – I was huge in the 80s and the 90s, and, of course, one of my best friends was on the circuit for many years, and so I lived vicariously through him and his stories and everything. And
they also had another thing that happened last night that a texter asked me about. So Drew McIntyre – you've met him. He lives in Nashville.
Great guy.
Sheamus also lives in Nashville. So that, but they got a storyline with Drew setting up a match with CM Punk, and he hates CM Punk. And ever since he's come back to WWE, like, he hates him.
Like in real life too.
Well, there's probably some real So CM Punk costs him the title, a chance of winning the title over the weekend at a premium live event in Scotland, which is where Drew's from. And so Drew comes out last night like he's going to cut a promo, and he goes, I can't do it anymore. I'm tired of this company. I quit. And he walks out.
Oh, no.
And so they do this whole thing where he's backstage, and Triple H is like, no, don't quit. And he's like, I'm done. So he deletes all his Twitter account or his social media accounts and all that stuff. And then WWE has done a partnership with TNA.
Right.
And so they're going to do some crossover stuff. So 7 minutes after he quit, TNA posts this video of when Drew debuted for that company in 2015. So it's like, okay, what are they doing? They're doing something.
Right.
Yeah, so it's the soap opera, man.
So where's Drew McIntyre now?
I don't know. He deleted all – he won't answer our calls.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what.
He could be back in Nashville listening to the show. So what's up, Drew?
A story off the side of this. He did a Special Olympics event 2 years ago, and he's supposed to be there from like 12 to 1. He stayed to like 3:30.
Oh, he's a great guy.
It was – I'd never seen it like that. And he signed, he engaged, he was everything with these kids, and they were loving it. He loved it more than they did, and I was like, I get it. I mean, he gets it. And I was like, I see what they're doing. He's fantastic.
I've met him twice now.
once in the public eye or coming here to do an interview. So it's like, okay, he's probably got it turned on. And then I met him just like out randomly.
Right.
He's been the same both times. Like, it's super nice.
It's not, Seamus was the Donaldson Christmas Parade Grand Marshal a couple years ago. So somebody asked me if I could get them anybody. And I said, I don't know. I know somebody who knows Seamus. So I got Seamus's phone number, personal cell, and I gave it to this lady. I said, just call him. I don't know. She calls him. He answers. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. And he just like, well, 2 weeks later, there he is.
Hang on. You have Seamus's number and we've never had him on the show?
I did, yes. At somewhere in my contacts.
I'd like to get him on the show.
Okay.
He's awesome.
All right.
But he and Drew go to Preds games all the time.
Buddies, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you ready for the question of the day?
I'm ready for the question.
All right, Dr. Crane, you ready for the question of the day?
Yes, sir.
All right, 40 years ago today, 40 years ago today in Nashville, we had the world premiere of one of the worst movies of all time with two of the biggest stars ever. The movie called Rhinestone debuted here in Nashville with Sylvester Stallone and Dolly Parton. They had a premiere over at Opryland, and I was there a bunch. It was awful movie, but it was fantastic. Later that night, some people ran into Stallone downtown. And I want to know, and this is kind of funny to us, and get your reaction on our text line, what's your random run-in with a celebrity in your life? Doesn't have to be here, anywhere else, but imagine sitting at dinner and there's Stallone 2 feet from you, and they were in for this premiere of Rhinestone. I know Nashville, you see a lot of people here, but I'm just curious. It's a fun summer topic to have, involving what happened 40 years ago today with the world premiere of the movie Rhinestone. Did you see the movie Rhinestone?
No.
It is, we talk about best.
I'm probably not going to.
We talk about best, worst movies. This was worst. There's no best about this movie.
So this is the worst, worst movie?
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. So a random run-in with some celebrity. And we did this probably 6 months ago. We had a lot of fun with it. So we'll reboot it now, coming off the heels of this being the movie Rhinestone. So your random run-in, airport, wherever, doesn't matter. Look over and say, hey, that's so-and-so, or that person over there. Or that's Drew McIntyre over there. Whatever. Yeah. Just let us know on the text line. We'll have a lot of fun with it.
615-737-1025. Again, on until noon today. So a three-hour edition of the Chase and Big Joe Show, and then Willie Donick and Jill Jelnick once again to follow. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chase and Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. Shining on me like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out on a horse in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy. Getting caught. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, the game. A classic. Dr. Crane is our rhinestone cowboy. Just walking down Broadway. I can see it.
Cowboy hat on. I can see him and our intern, Midnight Cowboy Part 2.
Please, Joe.
You ever see Midnight Cowboy, Dr. Crane?
No, I don't want to.
It's the only X-rated movie to win Best Picture. But back then, X-rated is not what X-rated it is.
Yeah.
It's completely different. But it's the only movie to X-rated movie to win Best Picture Oscar.
Okay. Well, do we have sports going on today?
We do not. We have random.
We really don't.
It's wrestling and random things.
Just forevermore, Joe. Do never compare me to an X-rated movie. That's all I'm asking.
It came out in 1970 or 72.
Okay.
So it's not what you think X-rated. It had nothing to do with what X-rated is today.
Oh, I got you. It was more for like...
cussing and more, a few other things. But anyway, that's it. So yeah, that's what.
So it's like rated R. Okay, I got you. Okay, cool.
Basically, yeah. I mean, times have changed and evolved that way. Our question of the day: what's the most random, oddest celebrity encounter you've had coming off? 40 years ago today, the movie Rhinestone debuted here in town with Stallone. And I'll never forget seeing Sylvester Stallone. He's tiny.
Good, small.
He's a tiny, tiny guy. I mean, Drew McIntyre could step on him. That's how you kind of balance how big Drew McIntyre is, how tiny Stallone is. But still, Sylvester Stallone, man.
Bradley in Clarksville, me and some buddies ran into Seamus in a GameStop at Opry Mills Mall. We asked aren't you Seamus? And he said, nah, then laughed, and then he let my buddy take a picture with him.
How does he get away with saying he's not Seamus?
I don't know.
Gigantic.
I would do that, too. I'd be like, nope.
I'll take a picture anyway with you. So, yeah, here, stand over here and smile with me.
Lisa says, I ran into Big Joe at a Sounds game. He recognized me from my Facebook photo, and he called me by my full name.
Sad life I live. I recognize people like that. Yeah. Like, if I see Dr. Crane, I'm like, Dr. Crane, I know you are. Yeah.
Well, actually, no. At this event with Terry Bradshaw, I saw Big Joe. Hey, Big Joe, what's up? Hey, what's your name again? I was like, can we get a picture? He said, like, what's your name again? I was
hey,
like,
hold on. Like, you didn't have your glasses on.
Oh.
That's true.
Come on.
I'm telling you,
am
man.
Am I that different?
Well, I mean, like Clark Kent, could you? Nobody knew Clark Kent was Superman. And I could see how now they didn't recognize it because you took your glasses off.
That's fair, I guess.
And I was like, it was just so random. I'm at that table, and you're right next to me. And there it was. And there it happened.
You
so.
Reminded me, he's like, oh, what's your name again? I was like, it's Nick. What are we doing here? Dr. Crane.
You're the Clark Kent of 102.5 The Game, man.
Okay.
Good to know. I had no idea. 7017 met Gary Busey as he was exiting the toilet stall after taking care of his business in a small bathroom at church. Had no idea he was there. Obviously, I didn't shake his hand.
Oh, wait. Text, was this in Nashville? Can you imagine going to church and Gary Busey sitting next? I'm glad he's out. Hell, we all need to go to church. And there's Gary Busey sitting next to you. Now, that's a great random
odd
encounter with a celebrity.
Dwight in Kentucky, 1991, was in the Army at Fort Polk, Louisiana, and Sylvia and Lee Greenwood gave a show on the 4th of July. Met them. Sylvia was an angel. Lee was at... Was a, oh.
The damn Patriots, what he is.
Well, I was trying to figure out what he meant here, and it's a word I can't say on the radio. He was a Richard, ordering soldiers around, being demanding and talking down to low-ranking troops.
Lee Greenwood?
Yeah.
I love it. By the way, he's morphed into Mr. Burns, by the way.
He does kind of look like Mr. Burns.
He does.
Matthew and Nashville have had three random run-ins with celebrities. Two were on a plane, and one was in public. The first plane ride was a couple of years ago, was the now late, great Bill Walton. The second one was with a former University of Tennessee basketball star, Ron Slay. I don't know what he's doing now. Flying to a Tennessee Pitt game in 2022. And the third was at B-Dubs in Cool Springs, watching the NFL game that day. It was George Plaster.
Hey,
that's not even close.
That's not, hold on.
Now, hold on a second. Now, Joe, the only one that can do an impersonation of me is Kevin Ingram.
Now, I ordered boneless wings. Now, bring them out boneless. That's early,
that's
my voice.
That's a joke.
I warm up with my Bob Hope impression, so I'll get it to that.
2758, randomly saw Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top in a bar in Vegas drinking alone. My friends and I walked up and said, Mr. Gibbons, I'm a huge fan, and all he did was raise his glass, never looked up or turned around.
That's awesome. That's a polite way of saying beat it. that's great. Hey, go back to the Bill Walton one real quick. Can you imagine walking a plane? I mean, Bill Walton's gigantic.
Right.
7 feet tall.
Speaking of Bills, Bill wants to weigh in on a celeb run-in. Bill, what's up?
Hey, thanks, guys. Back in 86 or 87, I'm not sure which one, it was beer o'clock at noon. I went into the Super X drugstore up in Madison. And in front of me was a guy, I always kid with my wife, it was Johnny Cash. And I said to her, look, there's Johnny Cash. She said, well, you're BSing me. And it was Johnny Cash. He was in front of me at the register. I said, hey, Mr. Cash, I appreciate your music, son. And he said, I appreciate you, too. He had a black Cadillac with a red interior out in the parking lot. It was neat to see. And I also worked at the Ernest Tubb Record Shop, and there's a door that went into the alley. We went out there one day to take a smoke break. And there's a limo backing up to the Hilton, and out comes Dolly Parton. And she looks at us and waves, hi, hon. And that was sweet. I love that.
Awesome. Thanks for the call, Bill.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Ernest Tubb. Didn't Little Richard live at the Hilton downtown for many, many years?
I don't know.
He drove around in a limo? Or somebody drove him around in a limo? Yeah.
I've never heard that. That's cool.
He did, yeah.
I wish I had met Johnny Cash. He's one of my favorites, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a run and no, nothing that happened. Of course, lived up
I've met Henderson. John Carter Cash.
Great guy.
Yep.
I did the interview with him the day of the Oscars when Reese Witherspoon won Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, yeah.
Yep. And I was like, why didn't you go out to Hollywood? He's like, I'm not Hollywood. I was like, nice.
That's a good one. Coming up next, we'll talk some baseball with our man Jeff Hem, voice of the Nashville Sounds. As the, what the world was that? The Sounds are back in town. Tell you about that and much more. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm an idiot. I said 9:30. I meant 10. Jeff's going to join us at 10. I'm the one that even set that up, and I still can't get the time right. So sorry, Jeff. We'll call you at 10 because they're like, he's not answering. I go, wait a minute. I screwed this up. So
it's Tuesday.
We'll talk to Jeff M at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, you be all right, Chase.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong with me sometimes. I really don't. 615-737-1025. Our question of the day. And where did Joe go? Like, he wanders out at the end of the break.
I was wondering the same thing. Maybe it's coffee. There he is.
Yeah, you know, just wander out anytime you want. That's fine. That's whatever. Did you get some coffee there? I was telling the audience that I am an idiot. Because it's 10 o'clock for Jeff Hem, not 9:30, so I screwed that up.
Well, we can
so.
Practice right now. Jeff Hem. Okay, well, we make mistakes all the time, buddy. As I've told you, only one perfect person walked the earth, and he's not in this room. Right?
Yes, that is correct.
Our question of the day, random run-in with a celebrity throughout an odd encounter, like the guy who ran into Gary Busey in the bathroom. That's what we're looking for things like that on our text line, 615-737.
You want mine?
1025. Absolutely.
I have a few. So the last time we did this, I talked about Allen Iverson, that I ran into him in a casino in Cherokee, North Carolina. So my next one is in Vegas. Rick and I were out in Vegas, and we're walking through the mall that was connected to one of the hotels. I think it was Mandalay Bay, maybe. And so we're just like walking around, and we both see this guy coming towards us. And Rick and I play this game where, you know, we see somebody that looks like a celebrity, and we go like, oh, hey, look, it's, you know, so-and-so, even though it's not. And I was about to say, the guy walking towards us, I was like, hey, this guy kind of looks like Marshawn Lynch. And then I go, wait a minute, that is Marshawn Lynch. And Rick's like, it is Marshawn Lynch.
Did y'all talk to him?
Yeah, he was on the phone, so we just kind of said, hey, what's up, Marshawn? And so he like is walking by us, and we're like, hey, Marshawn, what's up, man? And he goes, sup, boss?
Did the old I'm on the phone thing?
No, he fist bumped us and said, sup, boss, and kept walking.
Keep walking, yeah.
Smart. He owns a store in the mall. And so he was walking to a store. So it was like some clothing store or something. But yeah. It was like, so that was a very random run in, but it was Marshawn Lynch.
I love it because that with the phone, he'd be like, hey man, I'm on the phone. Sorry about that, real quick.
Let's see. Dave says probably in 1995 at a convention at the Omni Center in Atlanta, coming down the glass elevator, me and my buddies spot Randy Macho Man Savage at the hotel bar and lounge. We went over, had a drink. He was cool to us, and then after about 20 minutes, he says in his Macho Man voice, you guys are fun and all, but where are your women at? I could just hear that right now. Like,
where are the women at? Ooh, yeah. Oh, that's Macho great, Man. That's just the random run-ins are so funny, man, because you see him out of context and like on the elevator and see him come escalator, see him coming down would be fantastic with these people.
Flannel Fred says, come on, there's college baseball going on today. Two games in the College World Series. Jeez.
Okay. I bet you Fred can't name two teams in the World Series.
Like, what do you want us to talk about? I mean, what are we breaking down here?
Yeah. Flannel Fred. Good guy right there that happens.
Let's see. I was on a band trip to Orlando in high school in the early 2000s. We went to the mall for a few hours, and I wanted Starbucks while I was in line. The guy in front of me turns around to shake my hand and said he really liked my hat. I was wearing an Astros hat because my favorite pitcher at the time played for them. I get my drink, and I walk out. My buddy, who is a Braves fan,
said, "Holy crap, Roger Clemens is on the escalator." I was like, "No way." No way, where I looked down and it was the guy that shook my hand and my favorite pitcher still. My buddy said something and he looked over and smiled and waved. So Roger Clemens liked your hat and shook your hand.
That's very good.
That's awesome.
That's nice. What's your other one? You got Iverson, you got Marshawn Lynch, you got another one?
I mean, there's – the thing is, like, living in Nashville,
yeah,
it happens.
It does.
And sometimes it happens and you don't even think about it. It just happens. And, like, I grew up in Loveless, you know, with my family owning Loveless. So, you know, I'd go in to see my grandmother, and you never know who'd be sitting there.
Vince Gill, right?
Half the time it was Vince Gill. Every Saturday morning, Vince would show up at the same time by himself, sit at the front table, and, you know, just have his breakfast. And of course, was super nice.
Yeah.
And talked to anybody that came up to him.
Did you see the evolution from skinny Vince to middle-aged Vince?
Well, he came in – so he hadn't been there for like a couple, you know, a month or two.
Right.
And, you know, my grandmother, it didn't matter who you were. Like, if you were a regular and then all of a sudden you weren't around, she got worried.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, you know, I remember her saying something. And I was like, I'm sure he's fine. And, you know, he finally comes in one morning and she's like, Vince, where have you been? And, you know, have you been on tour? And he starts laughing. He goes, no. Amy told me I needed to lose some weight. So, it was like one of those deals.
Wayne on Twitter says, I got to randomly meet Chase on game while working a sounds game for the video board in 2021. Do you know Wayne?
Yeah. I think I've met Wayne a few times.
Okay. I asked Wayne, how did Chase smell? So I'm waiting to hear back
from the
answer on that too as well. Our boy Marlon says, Carmen Electra, I met her at a convention and she was out there. For sure, she kept saying, I was so happy. I'm so happy. I'm so happy while staring into space.
Okay.
Here's the fight. He says, although my friend had won better, he and Gene Simmons exchanged pleasantries in the bathroom. I actually, in the bathroom at the Super Speedway, remember, he was big into IRL. Gene Simmons was.
Yeah.
And so I'm in the bathroom at the National Super Speedway, and he's gigantic and super nice. And I did not shake his hand or nor talk to him in the bathroom.
I, like, exchanged a, hey, how are you, to Pitbull at the first Ally 400.
How was that?
That was cool. I'm like, okay, Pitbull's here. That's kind of neat.
yeah, kind of neat.
Who was so Derrick Henry was there. Derrick kind of recognized me from Titans, and obviously I knew who he was. So he walked by and was like, hey, what's up? Alvin Kamara. That was another one.
Oh, okay.
He was like a random one in the media center. I'm getting ready to do pre-race, and he walks by me, and I go, I kind of like turn around. I was like, is that Alvin Kamara? And I hadn't heard that he was going to be there yet. And somebody was like, yeah, he's here with something.
Well, Derrick Henry is the reason Alvin Kamara ended up at Tennessee. You know that.
Is that because was he going to go to Bama? Or?
Yeah, he was not. He realized – I'm not going to get the ball here at Bama, so I'm going to go to Tennessee and play football.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
No, that worked out, sort of.
On the recruiting class, yeah.
Did Butch Jones know he was on the team? Or?
Probably. But Kamara had one of the most dumbest plays in UT history, and UT fans seem to forget about this. 4th and 10 at Vanderbilt, they throw a screen pass to him, and he steps out of bounds.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
That's how the game ends.
Yeah, but the other thing that people do remember, and I think it's true, Butch Jones didn't know how to use him.
Well,
he had a talented guy and didn't know how to use him.
True. I mean, it's the way it happens. That was an odd – that 16 team was an odd Tennessee team, but Kamara stepped out of bounds, and Vandy fans to this day will pounce on him.
This text line is blowing up. 615-737-1025. Bob wants to weigh in on celebrity run-ins. Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
All right. Okay, so I serviced travel centers, you know, take them fuel and stuff, and – you do have, you know, quite a few, you know, you see people. Well, I'm out there dropping. It's about 9 o'clock at night, kind of by myself. And this big Lincoln Town car pulls in, parks about 10, 12 feet away from me. Guy gets out. He's got a big Panama hat, loudest Hawaiian shirt you ever saw. And he's stretching and everything. As soon as he turns around, I recognize him right off. And I love the guy. So I couldn't help myself. And I eased over there and I said, hey, fella, I said, anybody ever told you you look a whole lot like Mike Ditka? Well, man, he looked at me, threw a hand up, took a draw off a big old cigar, and he had one of his Super Bowl rings on. I wasn't close enough to see which one, and he goes, yeah, I get that a lot.
Yes.
Like, all right, buddy, I'll see you later. And it was cool, man. I really enjoyed it.
Where was it? Was this here in Nashville or Middle Tennessee?
No, it was actually at Hurricane Mills.
Oh, down there by Miss Loretta's place.
Yes, it was. It sure enough was. But, yeah, like I said, he was, you know, he kind of got a look on his face when he said, yeah, I get that a lot.
Oh.
Hey, man, appreciate it. We'll see you later.
All right, Bob. Thanks, brother. Love that.
Thanks, Ditka. Bob.
Love Ditka.
That's a good one.
Love Ditka. Yeah, that's fantastic to do that. You know, you just, you know, the random run-in. I mean, Dennis Quaid's dog nipped my foot at the airport about 6 months ago. He's like, I'm sorry. And he's tiny, too. I'm like,
yeah.
Dennis Quaid. He's a, yep, and very nice. Super nice guy.
I think he lives here,
yep,
right?
Sure does. Flying out. And I said, man, we talked briefly. And but it's kind of cool, man. There's Dennis Quaid.
Hair Metal Henry wants to weigh in. What's up, Henry?
Going on, gentlemen? So back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I worked on these big robotic storage silos for data storage. And I'm working over at BMI there off Music Square. And this thing I'm working on is kind of like a big, tall closet. And this guy hits me in the back with the door and the latch that locks it goes right square in my back. And I'm about to turn around and call this guy an a-hole, and it's Graham Nash standing behind me. He's like, sorry, mate. So behind him is Nils Lofgren of the E Street Band.
What?
And Mac Davis. So Mac Davis is getting a tour with Dennis, the president of the IT center over there. He's like, what you got on them tapes in there, man? He's like, well, we use it for back up our data, you know, archive email, things like that. He says, you don't have song lyrics on those by chance, do you? He says, no, why? Mac says, well, hell, I'm playing a show at the Gibson Cafe tonight. There's a song I'd really like to do, but I can't remember the damn words to it.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it. Hair Metal Henry.
Oh, my goodness. I think Nils Lofgren lived here, or he might still, or he did at one point. He plays for the E Street Band, was here. That's a great random run-in with celebrity. I've had a few throughout the years. I ran into Richard Dreyfuss at the Opryland Hotel. I actually helped him get into a cab, and I got him a cab because I worked there. And I was like, you're going to need a bigger cab, you know, with the Jaws line, you know, need a bigger boat. And he said to me, that's not funny. And drove off the cab. 1988, true story, Richard Dreyfuss. Always laugh, man. Because he was a big star still back then. And so you need a bigger cab. He's shut the door. He's like, that's not funny. And they drove off.
Oh, that's funny. See, I do think it's funny. Keep these coming, 615-737-1025. I mean, the text line is blown up on this, so more of your answers coming up. We'll also talk to Jeff Hem at 10 here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, 1025, 1063 The Game. I've traveled so far to change this lonely life. I want to know what love is. I feel like this is another radio station, but I like it. Sounds good. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063 The Game. On until noon today. Rest of the week. Having a little fun with that. Our question of the day, random celebrity run-ins. A lot of you have weighed in, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. And, of course, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Let's see. Let's go back to the phones. Bruce wants to weigh in on celebrity run-ins. Bruce, what's up?
Yes, I was in Lexington, Kentucky in 2005. We went up to watch the Vanderbilt, Kentucky series that weekend. And I was at the hotel, and they have a computer room up on the top floor. I'm coming out of this computer room, and this guy comes. I see this guy coming up to me, and he's got an OJ in one hand and a coffee. He's a little disheveled, and he asked me about the computer room if he needed to pay. I said, no, you just use your room key. then I realized who it was, and I blurted it right out, and I said, "You're Huey Lewis." And he immediately went into his room and slammed the door.
I would, too, if I had a Schmitto asking me in the hallway who I was. I would, too.
I'm not Schmitto. I'm not Mike.
I know. I know. So did you ever see him again in the hotel or no?
No, that was the last I saw of him. You know, he played a concert that weekend in the hotel, Huey Lewis in the News.
Right.
And, you know, he was a little disheveled, and I just blurted it out, said, "You're Huey Lewis." And he looked at me and just darted right into his room.
That's funny. Thanks for the call, Bruce.
All right, Bruce. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Gene. Gene's got a celebrity run-in. Gene, what's up?
Hi, guys. This is a good one. It's I was a flooring installer for years, and I pick up this job from, I think, Carpetan, and I go to the job with my son. Well, the name of the customer is on all the sheet worksheets and everything. It said Chris Mason. Well, I played hockey my whole life. It just didn't hit me, though, who Chris Mason, right? Chris Mason, the goalie. So we go there, and we're working for about a half hour, and we're talking hockey and Gordie Howe and all that. And my son goes downstairs, gets a tool, he comes back up, and I was like, "Hey, this guy's from Canada, Trevor." And he goes, "Hey." And Chris almost fell down the stairs laughing. Well, he goes downstairs. 5 minutes later, it hit me. I was like, "Am I so dumb? That's Chris Mason." So I went downstairs and I talked to him. I said, "Hey, Chris, I'm sorry. I didn't realize who you were. I should have known." And he said, "Don't worry about it, man. I was having a ball." Well, we got done with the job. He loved it. He ended up giving us two tickets for the next night game against the Flyers. Parking passes for the Music City Center and autographed hockey cards.
Holy cow!
The only thing about the hockey cards was he was a St. Louis Blues jersey. So that's my random.
Awesome!
That's awesome.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
Gene.
Yeah, it was fun.
Chase knows Chris Mason really well, and I think you could get Gene a Preds card, can't you, Chase?
A car?
Card?
Card? Oh, yeah,
I run. I run into him down at the arena every so often. He always says hello. You know, it's not like one of those drive-bys. He stops, talks to you for a few minutes. He's a really nice guy.
Yeah, yes,
for sure. Thanks, Gene.
All right, you bet.
Hockey dudes are different, man.
They get it. They're humble.
Do. Yep.
I mean, that's the thing that's so cool about it. A lot of you weighed in. I like this. Good topic there, Joe. Eric has a celebrity run-in. Eric, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys. So I was courting this young woman a few years ago. And we had lunch at Sam and Zoe's there on right across from Hundred Oaks. And it's a pretty small place. And my chair was the closest chair to the cash register, but my back was to it. And so I'm talking with her and she's kind of looking around and there's a little bit of a crush of people that came in. Not huge, but I turned around and looked and there was a gentleman standing right behind me looking right down on me. And I turned right back around to her, and I was like, "That's Alice Cooper looking at me."
Oh, yes.
Standing over top of me, and he's not a tall man, but I felt kind of pretty small sitting in a chair underneath him. That was crazy.
Did anybody else recognize Alice Cooper at this restaurant?
I don't know that anybody did because I was trying not to be fanboy and I just kept my attention on her. And so I don't really know what was going on, you know, behind me. So I don't know whether he did or not.
Did you kick her under the table like that's Alice Cooper?
No. I turned back around and my eyebrows went up and I was like, leaned in. I was like, that's Alice Cooper.
Oh, that is fantastic. That's a good one. Thank you.
Thanks, Eric.
Anyway, all right, thanks.
I told you the time I saw him in the Preds locker room, and they all went crazy. I was like,
"Oh yeah,
why?" I mean, Pekka was like beside himself. I was like, "Why?" And they're like, "In Europe,
oh yeah,
that rock and roll from the 70s, Alice Cooper rock, is massively popular."
Yep.
I was like, "Whoa!"
All right, we got a few more calls to get here before Jeff Hem. Carl, tell us about your celebrity run-in.
Yeah, this was probably late 90s, so 25 years ago. I was at Opryland Hotel, and I'm a big New York Yankees fan. Follow them pretty diligently, especially I like the old history. But walking towards me in one of the hallways of the hotel is a big lobby, is Joe DiMaggio. And I'm with my boss, nice. And I'm with my wife. And as he's getting closer to me, he passes me. And I tell my wife, I said, I'm all excited. And I said, I've got to meet him. I've got to shake his hand. And I turned around to him, and I kid you not, I say, Mr. Garagiola, Mr. Garagiola. And he keeps walking. And I'm like, and I'm following him now. And finally, he stops. And he's with another guy. And he turns around, and I walk up to him, and I said, Mr. Garagiola, I just wanted to say, I'm a big fan. And he shook my hand, and the look on his face was like, you idiot. And I didn't say it. I turned away, and I realized I had just called Joe DiMaggio Joe Garagiola.
What time frame is this? What years?
It was in the late 90s at Opryland Hotel. They must have been having some kind of baseball conference. Maybe 96, 95, 94, somewhere in there. But he was with an agent or somebody. But I've told that story many times, and it's a true story. But he did shake my hand. He looked at me with not a disgust like Huey Lewis slamming the door in that guy's face, but just like, you know, just a quirky look on his face. Like, you know, do you not know who I am, you idiot?
I mean, come on, that's Joe DiMaggio. I mean, to think of the random running into him, I'd freak out too.
Yeah, I mean, I was, like I said, being a Yankee, my dad saw him playing in the minor leagues. He's passed away now. But, you know, it just all came together, and I was like, the Yankees used to have a farm club at Nashville Sounds. I mean, I've seen Don Mattingly play out there. Steve Balboni was my main guy.
Willie McGee was on that team, yep.
Yep, you're right. Exactly.
Thanks for the call, right, Carl. Guys. Great story.
Thank you. You know, the whole we talk about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I mean, that was DiMaggio, Marilyn Monroe.
Yep.
He was the most popular athlete probably in the world at the time, but she was more popular than he was, and he couldn't take it. Real quick. All right.
I just saw Joe DiMaggio and Dinky Donuts. You know, I looked in there, and there he was having coffee and a donut.
Joe DiMaggio? In Dinky Donuts,
Joe DiMaggio.
Thank you.
Now, the best part of that episode is when Kramer tries to get his attention. He's just like,
that is a fantastic. Like
banging on the table.
Yes, good job, Dr. Kramer.
Brent, real quick, who was your celebrity run-in?
I've had two. Derek Jeter in South Tampa when I lived. He built that monstrosity on Davis Island, and he was in front of me at the food line buying Cheerios. Of course, his phone's in his ear. I was like, who is this guy? How do I know him? Did I play pickup basketball with him at some time or something? And then we walk outside. He gets into a gold Maybach. And I'm like, oh, Derek Jeter. And then the other one was Randall Tex Cobb at the IHOP in Nashville. Off Vanderbilt at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Did you talk to him?
Awesome.
Yeah, I did. My wife at the time, it was her favorite actor. You know, Raising Arizona was her favorite movie ever. So I went and got an autograph from him.
Oh, that was he nice.
Cool. On the scene. Do they still have the scene in Nashville?
They do.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Was Tex Cobb nice?
Yeah, he was super nice. Good. But he was off in a room kind of by himself. I guess he didn't want to be bothered by people like me bothering him.
Thanks for the call, Brent. Good stuff.
All right, thanks.
That's good. We'll get back to these later in the show. Coming up next, talk some baseball with our man Jeff Hem. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watch The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August is finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.